Charles' boy Julian has arrived in Barcelona to try and find his son. On Saturday evening local time, Mr. Cadman was rushed from the airport by Australian consular officials and police to Barcelona's main justice and forensic centre. It's thought he was then taken to hospital where his seriously injured wife and Julian's mother, Jom, is being treated. The cars avoided waiting British and Australian media while the hospital has an imposed media cordon. Sydney boy Julian became separated from his mother when a van ploughed into crowds in the city's busy Las Ramblas district on Thursday evening local time. The Spanish Interior Minister Juan Ignacio Tiado has claimed the jihadist cell behind the twin terror attacks in Catalonia has been dismantled. However, the Interior Minister of the Catalan Regional Government has denied the claims. Joaquim Forn says Catalan police are in charge of the inquiry and they will decide when it's over. One attacker remains at large and a checkpoint has been set up in the town of Ripoll from where the BBC's Wira Davis reports.
On the main road into the town today, armed police officers stopped and checked each car and lorry as they continued their search for the one attacker still at large, 22-year-old Yunus Abu Yaqub. The members of the terrorist cell were sons of Moroccan immigrants, but they grew up speaking Spanish and Catalan and played for the local football team. At least five of the militants were killed during the attack in Cambrils on Friday morning. But in the last 24 hours, other potential suspects and known associates of the attackers have been arrested in police raids.
Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull will today unveil the counter-terrorism strategy document. Australia's strategy for protecting crowded places from terrorism was given to businesses and councils last week and outlines ways to prevent vehicle attacks similar to those seen recently in Barcelona, Nice and London. The plan will provide a do-it-yourself toolkit on installing bollards and planters and other methods of mitigating a hostile vehicle attack. It also provides guidelines on chemical attacks and what should be done in such instances. To the US, and thousands of leftist counter-protesters have marched peaceably through downtown Boston, chanting anti-Nazi slogans and waving signs condemning white nationalism ahead of a rally being staged by conservative activists. The marches come a week after a Virginia demonstration turned deadly. Police Commissioner William Evans says 500 officers, some in uniform, others undercover, were deployed to keep the two groups apart. Boston's Democratic Mayor Marty Walsh and Massachusetts Republican Governor Charlie Baker both warned that extremist unrest wouldn't be tolerated in the city famed as the cradle of American liberty. Parents are being encouraged to spare a thought for their children's hearing this Hearing Awareness Week. One in 1,000 Australian babies are born each year affected by deafness, and the Shepherd Centre's Dr. Jim Hungerford told Macquarie Radio undetected hearing loss can have serious consequences for young children.
By the time children go to school, about 1 in 300 have significant hearing loss, potentially even to affect whether or not they can learn to speak clearly. And so it's really critical for all parents to have their children's hearing tested.
Also in news, two men have been killed in a crash at a drag racing course in Queensland. It's believed their car crashed into a wall at the Willowbank Raceway in Ipswich last night. The 32-year-old driver and his 41-year-old passenger died at the scene. This is AIR News. Melbourne Storm have claimed the minor NRL premiership with a 44-12 win over Newcastle, and the Roosters edged out the West Tigers 22-18, while Cronulla held on to beat a battered Cowboys in North Queensland. The Sharks strolled to a 26-16 win, dominating the first half with four tries before switching off and letting the Cowboys back into the contest. But captain Paul Gallen says any win in Townsville is a good victory.
I'm quite positive about it. We had a win in North Queensland. As Flano said, it's always hard to come up here and have a win against a side that, you know, they're a good side. And the first half was great, and it's a stepping stone in the right direction.
Hawthorn's James Sicily had a shocker in the AFL, giving away seven free kicks as Carlton forward Jed Lamb got the better of him last night. The 12-5-77 to 10-10-70 victory was the Blues' first win over Hawthorn since 2005 and broke an eight-game losing streak.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny, winds southwest to southeasterly, 15-25 k's, reaching 35 k's along the coast, not quite as strong as they've been the last couple of days. The good news is 0% chance of any rain in Sydney today, heading for a top temperature of 17 degrees. Jim, what about over at Tarramurra and up at Taree today?
Right now at Tarramurra, Ray, it's 6 degrees. They expect a maximum of 16 degrees at Tarramurra, but Taree, a bit fresher, 8 degrees, and a chance of rain, unfortunately, 21% chance of precipitation, and a maximum of 16 degrees at Taree.
Sky Sports Radio can be taken anywhere, anytime. Crystal clear. Sky Sports Radio is available through the Tab app, plus the Radio Industries radio app. Whether you're at home, work, the races or travelling, make sure Sky Sports Radio is a part of your racing day.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Gear up for the biggest and best race day on the coast. Wyong Race Club's Gold Cup Day, a massive day of live racing action and all-day entertainment. Secure your ticket for the exclusive trackside marquee for the ultimate race day experience. Ladies, enter in the Jeep Fashions on the Field competition to win a share of over $10,000 worth of prizes, including the grand prize, a 12-day Pacific Island cruise for two, thanks to Cruise About Erina. Get to the biggest and best race day on the coast. Wyong Race Club's Gold Cup Day, Friday, 1st September. Book at wyongraceclub.com.au.
Milos Nikovic, Rolando Valdez, can hit them from long range, will throw one, what a goal, what a superb goal by Josh Rolante, it's just his second in the Hyundai A-League, and it is a teach.
It's one corner remaining for Chas Mostert, 250 hard fought kilometres, and super cheap auto racing is victorious, well done.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yes, they didn't have to wait too long on Friday night, did they? Big victory for the Sydney Swans over there in Adelaide. They are a genuine chance of the Premiership. We're a genuine chance of enjoying ourselves over the next 3 hours. I reckon we do that every Sunday. Ray Thomas in to talk about just an incredible day in Australian sport yesterday out there at Royal Randwick. To be able to witness that, Ray, to see what the great mayor did, and of course Winks went from 17 straight victories to 18 straight victories, but that does not even start to tell the story.
Do you think she could get up?
Of what transpired. Well, I was driving home with a mate of mine, Joel Kane, and he was driving. I was watching on the phone,
right.
and at that point he said, she was about 200 metres from home, and he said, would you like to back her now? I said, no. And yet somehow, some way, she found her way to the line in front of everyone else. Just an incredible ride from Huey Bowman, run from Winks, and training performance from Chris Waller, and we're going to have Chris Waller on the program a little bit later on this morning as well. Pete Snowden will be on there as well. Dracarys, a good win for Pete there. So P&P Snowden continue their charge. Peter Peters will be on now. We've got some things to ask Peter Peters. What does he think of the NRL salary cap that's been settled at $9.4 million? Hasn't been agreed to yet by the players. That may come tomorrow at the big meeting, but hasn't yet been ticked off by the Rugby League Players Association. We'll have a chat with Peter Tye, part owner of Winks, and give up, never won was a good
line
from Peter yesterday. But I thought the line of the day came from our very own Ronnie Duffacy, who said, the daughter of a showgirl has put on a showstopper. That's a good line. That is a good line. So Phil Moss will be along to have a chat about English Premier League and, of course, the build-up to the A-League. Dean Bulldog Ritchie, with all his thoughts on the game of rugby league, will also have our next instalment in the Z&Z quiz. Just a score update there, Ray.
Well, producer Jeremy has clarified the situation. It's
hang on. Producer Jeremy has not clarified anything.
James Smith, 16 with an asterisk. I'm 15. Is that how it is?
I'm 16, you're 15, and you two are trying to work out a way. Take it to the...
That's a great point, Ray.
Oh, here we go. Thanks, Mossy.
We'll go 16-15.
16-15.
All right.
No asterisks anywhere. But I'll tell you what, we're looking forward to this. After 9 o'clock, we're going to have a chat with the chairperson of the West Tigers, Marina Gough. She's going to speak on behalf of all the NRL clubs, what their thoughts were around the negotiations that took place this week. Also, the fact that the Rugby League Players Association has not accepted the Rugby League, the salary cap offer that's been put to them. We've got to go to the US with Jaith Witham. He's over there. Arrogate is going to run. Arrogate loses. Winks won.
Do we pull his tail?
Yeah, of course we do. Of course we do. You've already been declared over there with Long Jeans as the greatest horse on turf.
Mm-hmm.
But now we just want to say the greatest horse, Winks.
Well, I've been hammered since I rode it a couple of days ago, Jim. But my point is, if he loses again, does it pass the pub test that he's still the best horse in the world?
Can't.
Absolutely not.
No, fails.
100%.
Fails the pub test. So we'll have a chat with Jason about that. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. We'll have Trent Lansgale on the line. I know you're looking forward to speaking to Trent Lansgale after Hawthorn were beaten by the mighty Carlton. If you've got your Carlton top on again, well, that's nothing new. He wears the Carlton top every Sunday, just about.
Only where they win.
Tight fitting.
Win, which is one
Yeah. Our legend of the game, this has almost stopped the clock on this one. This is getting up to best of. Gregory Stephen Chappell.
Doesn't come any better.
Such an elegant batsman of the 70s and 80s of Australia. He cast a long shadow over Australian cricket for a long time, didn't he?
What a player. His cover drives and his on and off drives, wouldn't see any better.
And the way he amended his game to just famously just play in the V.
Brilliant. Yeah, love watching the first 20 runs or so.
Yeah, wait till he's seeing the ball nicely and then...
What a player.
So there you go. Gregory Stephen Chappell. I know there's a guy here who thinks he bats a little like him.
No, I didn't say
no,
that.
No.
I said I modelled my batting style, tried to at the very end.
See, I describe you as a knicker and nudger,
no.
And yet you say, no, elegant. Gregory Stephen Chappell, elegant. So there we go. So we'll have Greg Chappell talking to Greg Chappell, you know.
No.
One-on-one with Greg Chappell and Greg Chappell. So we can look for, anyway, whichever way you look at it, very much looking forward to it. We're looking forward to your contributions to the day too. 1353 53 is the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well. 0419 767 272. That's 0419 SMS BSB. And of course, get us on the tweets at Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. The rugby league scores across the weekend. Raymond, Parramatta too strong for the Gold Coast. Rabbitohs easy against the Warriors. Broncos 24-12 against the Dragons. And then yesterday, 44 points to 12. Congratulations to the Melbourne Storm. They are the minor premiers again. And the Roosters get home out of jail, really. 22 points to 18 against the Tigers. And then the Cowboys, no match for the Sharks up there. So we're getting a little bit more settled with our top eight. But again, outside of Melbourne, do we have anyone really challenging for the premiership this year?
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. I thought the Broncos, obviously, and the Sharks are probably the two main challenges. But you're right, the Storm just week in, week out are just so good, aren't they, Jim?
And Cooper Cronk.
Exactly, and they just keep winning. And, of course, the way that they'll finish minor premiers now, as you said, and get that home semi. So they're pretty much through to the prelim final. And Craig Bellamy here has just been one of continued success down there, hasn't he? He's an extraordinary coach. The Sharks, I thought last night in that first half, probably the best they've played for a long, long time.
Agree.
Did they switch off in the second half, or underrating the Cowboys, who each and every week they turn up and give their all, even though they're undermanned? I thought they were great in the second half. You mentioned about great moments in sport, and it was yesterday. That'll go down as one of the great races that I've seen.
Mm. Did you think she'd win?
No, I didn't. No.
Right.
And given the times they're running up front and the times they're running all day, I thought, well, it's got to be mathematically impossible for her to give these horses a start because they weren't tiring.
No.
They weren't coming back to her. But somehow, I still shake my head in disbelief. And you talk about the highs and lows of sport. I left Randwick there thinking, well, you don't see anything better in sport than that. And then just a couple of hours later, that first half of the Wallabies, that was as bad as it gets for an Australian supporter. I know the All Blacks are a phenomenal team.
They're okay.
But that was as bad as it gets, Jim.
So what do we think needs to happen? Is this just a reflection of where Australian rugby is at
Correct.
The moment? Do you think that's just a reflection of the elite level? Remember, it ended up 54 points to 34, so there was a bit of a comeback from the Wallabies, but gee, it was all too little too late, wasn't it? When the game was on the line, 40-6 at half time, and then 54-6.
Australian teams pride themselves on defence, don't they? Where was the defence? I was texting, the defence was horrendous.
Yeah.
Schoolboy errors in attack, but the defence dropping off tackles, going missing. punctuated straight through the back line of the Australian team time and time again, the All Blacks.
They are a machine, aren't they? They've had their distractions off the field this week, and yet still they put together great performance after great performance. That McKenzie, the fullback, he was playing halfback a few weeks.
Little blonde-headed bloke.
The little blonde-headed bloke. Lightning.
Fast, and he's tough.
Yeah.
Doesn't mind having a dig, does he?
Yeah, no problem with that. Sonny Bill Williams there, whether he should or shouldn't have been playing.
He was good.
Doesn't matter, he was there.
Imposing figure, wasn't he? Jeez.
Absolutely he is. And by the way, we're still wondering whether there's going to be a Sonny Bill Williams versus Paul Gallen fight come the end of the year or the start of next year. Still no confirmation around that, but very disappointing. We'll take your thoughts. Did you watch the Wallabies? Let us know what you thought, 1353-53. But our talk topic today that I think we're going to have some fun with, and we look forward to some inclusions from people throughout the course of the morning. We've got a couple of tickets to give away, courtesy of Prakash and the team out there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Yep. It's the VMAX double pass. So the VMAX double pass to the best contribution today. But witnessing greatness, it's a flash of inspiration from Raymond Thomas. And it comes after yesterday watching Winks live. We want to see it. We want to hear about it live. Watching
your moment.
Your moment. Recognising when you're there watching a sporting event that you've seen greatness.
Tell us yours, James.
I was at the 1997 grand final between the Manly Warringah Seagulls and the Newcastle Knights. There was 4 seconds remaining on the clock and Andrew Johns went down. It was not just a blindside. There was a metre and a half between he and the sideline. And somehow,
everyone was saying, what are you doing?
Why? There was Matthew Johns in the middle of the field screaming for the ball. He went down a blindside. Darren Albert had just played the football. Yeah. And immediately going through my head was, why on earth would you get... Oh, that's why you went down there.
You saw the gap.
Back through the middle of the field. Darren Albert gets the ball, scores the try. And this was the game Andrew Johns played with a punctured lung.
So that's a moment that will stay with you forever?
You just remember it. Just amazing. Cometh the hour, cometh the man.
Yes, so obviously that's what's inspired the talk topic.
Yes.
Sydney 2000, Cathy Freeman. That'll be a moment that stays with me forever.
Yeah, you were there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there too with my late father.
On the finish line. Oh, were you really?
Yeah. And at the we were right on the 200-metre bend.
Okay, yeah.
When she surged. And Dad said, I think Cathy's in trouble.
Then she surged.
Then she surged.
What was the name of the French girl?
José Marie Perec.
That's it, yeah.
But she didn't run.
She didn't get to the final, did
she? She took off. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, extraordinary, wasn't it? One of the great moments that I've... Because all the build-up and the pressure, and then she had to deliver on that big night and wore that one-piece suit when she came out. Went, what's she wearing? Great moment.
Well, Raylene Boyle had the great line. Bruce McAvaney, what a legend, what a champion. Raylene said, what a relief.
And that was it, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely spot on. So there you go, we're looking for witnessing greatness. We're going to have that today. By the way, just to let you know, too, we're having some issues with our computers here in at Sky Sports Radio. Ray and I are huddled around a little laptop that he's brought in. So
distance in between, demarcation line, like right about here, Jim.
It feels like there's a fireside chat with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. We're camped around the wireless.
Lucky I brought my little laptop in.
You've done very well. Well done, Raymond. Good thinking on that one. So despite the fact they're in much smaller font and the fact we're sharing computer screens, we will get to you. So let us know your thoughts. Oh, by the way, throughout the course of the morning, we're also going to give away a couple of tickets courtesy of the ATC. We did it last week, or yesterday, for Winks. We're going to do it again this week, too. Two times two ATC members' tickets to Rosehill Gardens for next week's races. And we'll have a couple of questions throughout the course of the morning on that. Probably won't give away the answer early like we did last week.
Yeah. And unfortunately, Jim, that Wallabies All Blacks test match last night promoted a lot of comical Twitter interaction last night. I don't know if you watched it. And we've got one this morning from one of our listeners. Morning, boys. What an epic test match last night. How about the sportsmanship by the All Blacks players to swap jerseys with Wallabies at half time to ensure a close game?
No name on that one. No. That's not bad, that.
And this one's from Ron from Moree. Good morning, Ron. How wonderful to witness the mighty mare, he's talking about Winks, at full stretch. It reminded me of the day watching Black Caviar set sail after Halas. That was a great
moment. In the
TJ. Yeah, what a day.
Yeah, I was there live that day.
You were there that day?
Yeah. Good on you, Ron. They're the type of things we're looking for. Mm. So great prizes up for grabs. Get involved in the program, 1353-53. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more. That's on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Mum, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
No, Lionel.
No, but there's free delivery, free unpacking, and we'll take away your old washing machine free. Just buy any Samsung, Simpson or Bosch washer from Bing Lee.
But no free lunch.
No, Mum. Free delivery, free unpacking, and free removal of your old washer.
Will you buy any Samsung, Simpson or Bosch washer from Bing Lee?
The offer won't last, so be quick.
See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Remember, Lionel, lunch is not included.
Can't choose between your favourite runners? Place a $3 mystery box trifecta on Trackside. And if your three runners finish first, second or third in any order, you win 50% of the trifecta dividend.
Visit your local tab to play Trackside.
Gamble responsibly.
Tin Tin in America, winner of five Group 1 races. Already the sire of an Australian two-year-old Colts record holder and Australian three-year-old Phillies record holder.
Tin Tin in America.
Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
It's Jon Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Hardham is surging at them. Jon Snow in front. Jon Snow from Harper's Choice's game. Jon Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Just before we get to our race replays, Raymond, here's a question for the boys. I'll fire this one at you, Raymond. If Hartnell raced in Sydney yesterday, could he have held on to beat Winks, judging on how well he went yesterday on the pace? Could Foxplay have won the Memsie? That's from Herb.
I reckon Foxplay could have won the Memsie, absolutely. The way she races and everything up on speed, and she's such a good mare. Could Hartnell have beaten Winks? Gee, Hartnell's been Winks' punching bag, hasn't he, for two or three years now?
Yes.
The answer to the first question, I don't think so. I think Winks would have found a way to catch Hartnell too, but didn't he go well yesterday, Hartnell? In a Winksless race, he steps up.
Jimmy accurately started the show with, yesterday was a great day in Australian sport. On a day the Wallabies gave up 40 first-half points, a reflection of rugby's relevance in Australia in 2017, question mark?
Good point.
Cheers, that's from BA. Thank you, Brad Arthur. I didn't know you were going to text the program. We appreciate that. And this one's a good one, Raymond. Hey, boys. Greatest moment live was when John Aloisi scored the penalty and Schwarzer saves to go to the World Cup. Everybody went nuts. Wow, what a game. Regards,
you were there,
the snob, I was there.
Yeah, that's right.
There was noise for 150 minutes.
No, I watched it on TV. It was amazing.
But that was an unbelievable moment.
And this one, Rick from Fairfield, I can attest to this. My greatest moment, and he's a West Tigers supporter, was a Pat Richards try in the NRL Grand Final with a Benji Marshall flick pass. Remember that?
Yes.
When Benji Marshall flew that flick pass, my son and I were sitting literally on that, right on that line.
Yeah, right.
He was almost
touching. Did you know what he did straight away?
I just went, what's he done?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the gap opened, and it was an amazing moment, you know.
Pat Richards does very well to catch it.
He does,
to expect it.
And then balance and sprint away.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Good ones. Keep them coming in.
Okay, race replay time, Jim, because with yesterday's race, meaning the Warwick Stakes, is effectively a precursor to the spring car. We know we're still in winter, but this is when all the good horses came back.
True.
Of course, Winks was back yesterday. The first race was a Silver Shadow. Only five fillies. What a finish. Is Formality an Everest contender? Well, she's pretty good.
100 out. Formality just rolls off the fence a bit. Champagne Cuddles moving up on the outside of Elise. So it's Formality kicking from Elise. Champagne Cuddles has gone one pace. Formality's going well. From Elise is knuckling down to the task. It's Formality and Elise. A great duel in the Silver Shadow. Elise goes to Formality. Formality kicks. Formality's won it. Formality brave. Just fended off Elise and Champagne Cuddles third.
Right, are you reckon Formality a chance for the Everest?
Well, I think she is.
Okay, well, let's try and get the Everest market up here. Bear with me, Raymond.
Trying to get up. The reason I say is because Coolmore own a slot, right? Now, Caravaggio is a real about coming.
No, Caravaggio's not coming, right?
Okay, fair enough.
Don't we accept that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
But Coolmore still own a slot.
Right.
And they race both Tulip and Formality. So they've got two good fillies who could potentially head down the Everest path.
Okay, all right, we'll look forward to that. We'll get that market up very shortly.
Next big race was the up-and-coming stakes, and Peter and Paul Snowden, they've always got a good colt. They've got a number of good colts in their stable this season. This is one of them, Drackery's.
Gold Standard pulls out three wide, putting Dracaris to the outside as they straighten up now. Trapeze Artist in front from Sanctioned. He starts to get busy now on Calculator with Gold Standard. Dracaris down the outside. Estic rocketing tight for room. I don't know if Calculator's going well enough. Sanctioned laying it down to Trapeze Artist. Dracaris is the one letting down with Gold Standard going with it. Dracaris and Gold Standard. Dracaris gets its head in front from Gold Standard, and Dracaris just wins the up-and-coming. Dracaris from Gold Standard, not sure about third, Ace High.
So Dracaris in the Golden Rose market, because we think that's where P&P are going to send the horse. Dracaris is $26 chance, $8 equal favourites, Kementari and Minari. And, of course, they've also got Invader and Pariah. Snowden.
And a nice horse called Assimilate that they scratched yesterday from the up-and-coming to run next week in the Ming Dynasty. He defeated Dracaris, or Dracaris, last start.
And what about Catchy's run yesterday? She wins that last year, right?
Yeah, first up, you've got to give another chance. I thought she ran well, and she could certainly improve off that, give her another chance.
Right.
Okay, well, let's just sit back. Aaron Flindell's call is fantastic.
Going to Fox Play! Winks dives! Yes!
We've gone a
bit
early.
She got up! Winks got up to beat Fox.
That's a little precursor. We've got to go there again.
That's a little tease. Now what happened a little bit earlier in the race?
Giuseppe alert. France. And Winks, she's still back last as they go past the 500 metres. Ecuador coming off the fence, giving Fox Play a bit of room. Then Harper's Choice, red excitement. Winks gets to the outside, six or seven off the lead. Fox Play, the stable mate to Winks, makes the run on the fence, goes up to join Ecuador. Red excitement. Winks is four lengths away. She's cutting loose now. Fox Play in the front from Ecuador. Winks is down the outside. It's going to get desperate. Winks is going to Fox Play. Winks dives. Yes, she got up. Winks got up to beat Fox Play. There's 18 in a row, but what about the drama today? Ecuador third, then red excitement.
No shortage of drama today as we're watching it again on replay.
What a win.
How did she do it? What happened in the stalls?
Yeah, look, especially early in a prep, she gets a little bit fractious in the barriers.
Okay.
And it's a trait that she's had right
she's
through her career.
She's done that before, hasn't she?
And as she goes into a prep, when she gets more, she loses that nervous energy, she's more relaxed in the barriers. A lot of horses are a bit fractious in the barriers.
Sure.
This was just a timing thing, Jim. She was mucking up, throwing her head around. The barrier turn literally moved forward just to grab her rein, just to try and steady her head. And she sort of flicked it around again as he had hold of it. Just at that moment, the barriers open.
Right.
A split second either side, she would have jumped fine. So the stewards had a look at it. They're not going to ask Chris Waller in a common sense move to go back to the barrier trials.
You got a horse in your stable named Winks. Could you go and send her to the barrier?
She's causing us problems.
Yeah, exactly.
But fortunately, she doesn't have to. And just one of those things, Jim, the timing was just so unfortunate, but it didn't stop her.
Do you know she's going to run in the Cox Plate race? She's $1.50. She's $1.50.
What's the second favourite?
The second favourite is Hartnell, and we've been talking about his good win yesterday. Mm. He's $26, along with Highland Reel, Humidor, and then you get out to Royal Symphony and Toes and Stardom at $34.
Can I run something past you? Because this was a topic of debate yesterday in the press room.
Yes.
People said it was good to see her stretched, and which was good to see her win, etc. And if she had a jump clean, she probably would have beat that field by three or four lengths. And my view is that I don't really care if she's tested or not, because we're seeing absolute greatness here. We should appreciate it for what it is. She's just that much better than anything else.
And did you liken it to anything in an article today, Ray?
Well, I did.
What did you liken it to in watching Winks?
Well, Usain Bolt.
Just tell me, during the course of your article.
Roger.
To who?
Roger Federer. You're a hard man.
The remarkable Roger Federer.
It's crazy moments in my life.
Okay, thank you very much. Just
I did
that
also mention Jonathan Thurston.
Jonathan Thurston, yeah, sure, but just getting in there. Roger Federer at Wimbledon.
Yep. Expect them to win. That doesn't lessen the thrill, though.
No, it
doesn't. That's my point.
Right, okay.
And that's my point. And to watch greatness like her, hence the inspiration of our talk topic.
That's right.
I think it's a privilege just to be there. And she was phenomenal yesterday. All day, track records were being threatened and or broken. It was extraordinary. Show County, deploy, terrific effort, sets a new track record.
Further back to the Virginian Invader, Ome Swords going up the inside, improving. And this has put Spectroscope back to last. Weather up the rise now. Burning Passion, that's a good idea. Deploy makes its move. Alluvian can't get a crack at them. The Virginian's running on. I don't think Ome Sword could win from there. It's the Virginian and Deploy heading off Burning Passion. Deploy, he's tough. Deploy in front from the Virginian. Deploy ahead to the Virginians. And Deploy's going to win it. Deploy by a long neck to the Virginian. Burning Passion third.
Well, I'm just having a look at the market for the Everest. Is Deploy in the market? I can't find Deploy in that market. So
he's not, and he's now the Everest course record holder.
There you go, over the 1,200 metres at Royal Randwick. If we want to, just we have got that market up now. Chautauqua, $4.60. She Will Reign at $6, and we heard during the week that she's just ticking off everything, isn't she?
Gary Poitelli told me yesterday, will barrier trial this Friday coming.
Okay. English at $11, along with Hootson, Russian Revolution, and Winx is in the market. But
you know what, Tim? Until yesterday, I thought Winx probably couldn't win an Everest at 1,200. I've changed my view now. If just say something went wrong...
But she's not going to go for it.
She's not going there.
No.
But just say Chris Wilde did decide to set up for Everest. After yesterday, I think that man can do anything. She's a phenomenon. Just quick mention, Jimmy, Super 2 in the last broke another track record. Unbelievably quick over 1,000 metres for Mark Connors. Great effort. Hartnell, well, he's been, as I mentioned earlier, Winx's punching bag for a couple of seasons. Godolphin seemed at Caulfield. Smart move. Takes out the Lawrence Stakes.
Around the turn, Charmed Harmony, 3.50 to go. Hartnell's getting closer, about a length away, followed by Toes and Stardom, heeled up. Blackheart Bart to the outside from He's Our Rocky Star exhibit. Charmed Harmony with Hartnell putting in the big ones at the 200. Hartnell, Williams goes for the whip, takes Charmed Harmony, followed by He's Our Rocky. But it's Hartnell, 100 metres to go, extends his first look at Caulfield's a winning one. Hartnell by 2 lengths, Charmed Harmony, Blackheart Bart possibly third from He's Our Rocky.
Matty Hill back on Sky Sports Radio. Hartnell now $11 favourite for the Caulfield Cup, $15 there with Admire Deuce and Humidor. And if you want to have a look at the Melbourne Cup market, well, let's do that because Hartnell is there in the market as well. $15 equal second favourite. Red Cardinal is $13 favourite there.
I guess, as always, a lot depends on the handicap, sir, Jim.
Yeah, it will, definitely, won't it? So we'll have to wait and see. But I know there's a few that are keen on Hartnell running in the Caulfield Cup as well. And here's some more SMS before we go to a break about what was the great moments. The best moment in sport I've seen live was Steve Menzies scoring a try in his final game in the NRL with 8 minutes to go in Manly's 40-0 historic triumph in the 2008 grand final. Regards, Eagle-Eyed Phil. Eagle-Eyed Phil, you need to get out more.
I like Davo's one, though. I was at Cumberland Oval when they burnt the grandstand down after
Power
won their first comp in 81. That was witnessing greatness. Good call, Davo.
That is a good one, Davo. Well, actually, we might send Davo out some CDs, hey?
Why not?
Go to see Sony Music. And maybe CDs of the time, too. So 1981, whatever was big in 1981, we'll send a CD out to commemorate that special moment in Davo's life. A break, and then we'll be gone. But actually, before we do that, we do have callers on the line. And it's Annie. Hello, Annie.
How are you, Ray?
Good morning, Annie. I'm here with Jimmy. How are you this morning?
I'm well, but you've just been talking about the great Winx. Well, I'm just going to say something about our great golden girl, Betty Cuthbert, passing away.
Yeah, good point. Betty
well
Cuthbert.
Done, Annie,
I think her funeral's tomorrow at the SCG, isn't it, I think?
Pardon?
There's a memorial.
Memorial
on.
Tomorrow.
There
is
a memorial at 1 o'clock tomorrow at the Sydney Cricket Ground.
Good point, Annie. Well, talk about one of the all-time greats. Here's a woman who won the 100 and 200 metres at the Melbourne Olympics in 1956, had her injuries, but returned in Tokyo in 1964 to win the 400 metres gold medal.
Incredible.
No athlete, male or female, has done that treble.
No.
She's a phenomenon. Great call from Annie.
Thank you, Ray.
Prize pack from Annie, I reckon.
Thank you.
All the best, Annie.
Thank you.
Good on you, Annie. Yeah, absolutely. CD's going Annie's way. So appreciate the call, and good of you to ring us, Annie, and you can do that, 1353 53. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
If you love your harness racing, you can rely on Sky Sports Radio. Tuesdays on the Pace brings you all the latest news, interviews and tips. Listen live at 10:30 Tuesday mornings or download the On the Pace podcast from skysportsradio.com.au.
It's been a long year, you've worked hard, now it's time to treat yourself in Hong Kong. Leaving December 5 with Ambassador Travel, you can be trackside and witness the very best of the equine world class during International Week. All the details are looked after, and it's five-star the whole way. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday and Sha Tin on Sunday, with our Aussie speedsters hopefully out to conquer the world again in the sprint. There's tours galore, including Macau, or venture to Mission Hills for some golf. In between, grab all the bargains and knock over the Christmas shopping. Call Ambassador Travel now, 1-800-777-989, or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. As you mentioned, terrific days racing yesterday, and I think we better get this horse's name right, Jim. Better conjecture how to pronounce it, but we better get it right because I think he's a colt going forward with a lot of upside. He was terrific in the up-and-coming stakes. It's Team Snowden heading towards the Golden Rose with a colt I think is called Dracarys or Dracarys. We'll ask Peter Snowden how to actually pronounce the colt's name. Pete, good morning, and how do you pronounce this colt's name, Pete?
Good morning, Ray, Jimmy. I called him a good horse yesterday.
Exactly.
I think it's Dracarys.
Okay. Yeah. And he was terrific, Pete, yesterday. And we must remember it was only his fourth start.
Yeah, no, he's doing a good job. He's still learning a little bit. And we're still learning a bit about him as to really what his right distance is. But he's got a great turn of foot. And he's heading the right way. So those are positive signs going forward from the spring.
Mm. Is that why you took him back for another trial, just to help improve those manners a little bit and get him a bit more used to racing, Pete?
Oh, look, there's nothing wrong, Jimmy, but he's just, well, it's been a month this time of year. Every race is like a grand final. You need to have them pretty well up to the mark to be competitive. So the colour of his pedigree and his price tag doesn't come into it. It's more his pedigree and the horse himself. But it's important every start he has. He needs to perform. So for mine, it's just that one try is to keep him up the mark. To be making competitive in a race like that yesterday, but Chelmsford Will had a little blow again, so he's not wound up, but he's full enough to run well yesterday.
Mm. Yeah, that's the positive, isn't it, Pete? Because little gap between runs went to 1300 yesterday on a day when they ran blistering times all day. I love the colt's determination, particularly that last 100 metres.
Yeah, and was ridden very well too, I must say. By young Andrew, he's got into a spot of bother on the corner. Before the corner, the 700 metre mark, calculators were starting to come back at his face. He wasn't taking him anywhere. And he sort of got up and around him. And then, as he did, the horse inside of him pushed him 3 deep, 4 deep on the corner. But didn't panic. He could have sort of went, pressed the button to get clear of that horse, but he didn't. He waited until he straightened, let him balance up properly, and saved him for the last 300 metres, and he was really good late.
Mm. 1,000 metres, 1,200 metres, then 1,200 metres. Schnitzel Colt have... You mentioned you're still trying to work out. Have you got a feel about what the best distance is, Pete? 1,300 yesterday?
Yeah, Jimmy, I think 1,400 will be okay.
Okay.
I think he'll be strong at that. He likes to settle. He likes to relax. He doesn't pull. He used to be a really keen horse early days, but he's settled right down now, and he's working with us. So there's every chance now I think you'll get 1,400 metres, and we all know where we're heading this time of year at 1,400 metres. So time will tell if he'll have another run, probably 2 weeks. And we'll just see where he goes from there and how he sits at that class of horse again before we decide whether we go to those or not.
Yeah. He's one of a number of promising colts you've got in the stable, Pete, and including one you actually scratched yesterday from the same race, Assimilate. He actually beat Dracarys at their previous clash. I think you told me yesterday, looking just to keep them apart, he may run next week in the Ming Dynasty, Assimilate.
Yeah, look, I think 14 to mile is definitely his go. You're right, they're on the same path and they're sort of had the same sort of prep up until now, but I just thought looking at yesterday where he drew 9 and just looked a little bit messy on the map where he'd be and how far back he got. Mm. Like he still could draw bad again next week, I know, but I just think at 1,400 metres, I'm pretty confident in my mind he'll be strong late. Even his trials, he was terrific. He's got a great turn of foot. He settles well and he's got a great turn of foot, and I think 1,400 metres this time he's prepped is perfect for him.
Yeah, they've got a few that are all heading in the same direction, haven't you? We're looking at the market here for the Golden Rose. Invader, $11. Pereira, $11. Dracarys is $26. And
And we just mentioned Assimilate, who's $51. So I guess that's one of those things that just can't be avoided, Pete.
No, it's looking genuine. It's a story to say we're heading there, but actually when they get there, might be a different story. So it's all about timing everything and having a horse with the ability that's going to keep stepping up and work his way up to that level.
Pete, just quickly, your Everest runners, potentially Russian Revolution, Pariah, etc. How is the stable shaping up with their sprinters?
Yeah, really good. I'm happy with both colts, him and the Gelding Red Zell. They're both heading that way if they're going well enough. But they're both having their second trial tomorrow. And maybe we'll split them up and one goes the shorts and one goes the McEwen after that. But they're really happy with both horses. They're ticking over really well.
Pete, just looking for an update for the owners. Hinchinbrook Rose Dinted. By the way, we're all heading out to Royal Randwick next Saturday morning for a jump out.
Yeah, look, I heard on the grapevine there was a stable inspection heading up, and I did ask if you were on the list, and he said actually he made the list up.
That'd be right. Yeah, he probably wants a breakfast and a red carpet and everything.
Yeah, what do you put on for the owners, just out of interest?
Here we go.
No, there's a cup of tea there. No, I might even bring a scone for you, Jimmy, if you pick up.
But I'll have two young boys with me too. They get a little bit hungry in the morning, Pete, so you might have to get a couple of scones.
And if Tiny's there, I better bring a dozen.
Now, Tiny is the managing owner, he's not. He's not Tiny, yeah. Matty King, he'll love that. Hey, Pete, fantastic. We're looking forward to that. Very exciting for the family. And well done yesterday with Dracarys. And again, as always, very good with your time on a Sunday morning. We appreciate it.
Cheers, guys. My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Pete.
There he is, P&P Snowden. Get the scones out next Saturday morning.
Oh, okay.
You'll be there nice and early, Raymond? 7 o'clock? You probably won't. That's a bit early.
Rose Hill next week.
Oh, right, of course. But you could easily make your way from there. This is an exciting colt
as
on the way up, right? I mean, you're a guy...
Have you named it?
Not yet. Okay. It's funny you should mention that. There's
in the mix?
A bit of conjecture around...
Oh, what's... Yeah,
what the name is.
Any clues for the listeners?
There's a name favoured by a lot of the owners, but not by some. Wackley. And that response is what is drawn from... Now, I tell you what. See... What happens is that Matthew King, the managing owner, has
quiz cheat for money. I do like
quiz
that.
Quiz cheat. Who said that? Who said quiz cheat?
Panel operator Hamish. Panel
operator Hamish came up with quiz cheat. Right. Well, no, we're not going to call the horse that. But Wackley is our preferred name, and Matthew King, the managing owner, has high hopes for it being an outstanding sire. See, and you just can't think by Wackling. By Wackley.
This one, I think they're heading in the paper too.
Yeah. See, these are the types of things.
Wackers does it again or something like that. Yeah, okay. Breakfast Radio.
Yeah, Breakfast
James
Radio, right. Right now, we need to go to a break. Compose ourselves.
Exactly.
And then try and get this show back on track with Chris Waller.
Jarlow's pies are the best pies in Australia. They are my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Jarlow's pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including Jarlow's family pies and world famous sausage rolls, a winner every time, Mum. Jarlow's pies available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, please ask for Jarlow's by name. At Jarlow's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, half time at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly.
Lano, winter's nearly over.
The perfect time to buy a heater.
Not many people wouldn't think that, Lionel.
Mum, I'm not normal.
I know.
So, I'm having a heating clearance right now on all kinds of heaters at Bingley.
Oh?
Gas, electric, oil filled, you name it. The latest styles, the latest in energy saving, the heat is on.
The heat is off.
The Bingley end of season heating clearance before the end of the season. Great deals on great brands.
And that's great deal more in store.
Sun and Cullen, I'm the Mighty Quinn, the widest runner. Turning our chain of command leader. Smiling Shard, Sun and Cullen, I'm the Mighty Quinn out wider. Sun and Cullen hit the lead. Sun and Cullen in front of Smiling Shard and Sun and Cullen. The New Zealander wins the cup.
Sun and Cullen, win
member of just under 1.5 million, the richest entire son of Christian Cullen, winner of four Group 1 races, from a New Zealand Broodmare of the Year, standing at Urabee Stud. Visit urabee.com.au.
It's English and Fell Swoop fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. And as Jimmy mentioned earlier, the theme today is witnessing greatness. We saw that yesterday with Winx's phenomenal effort to overcome that poor start. Last to first to win. One of the part owners, Peter Ty, responsible for one of the quotes of the day. Give up, never won. And Pete's been good enough to join us. Peter, good morning. And, well, firstly, congratulations. And the quote just summed up perfectly what Winx is all about.
Yeah, thanks, fellas. It's been quite a... memorable last 12 hours, I can assure you.
Well, did you sell out at any stage at all, Pete?
Oh, mate, like I said, you never give up. But gee whiz, she set herself a task to actually beat the field. So, yeah, mate, I probably was a bit doubtful at the top of the straight and just wondering whether she could make up the ground and, you know, just sort of heart stopped for a while and just held her breath and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's right. Give up, never won, but doubt was leading comfortably there for a while, wasn't it? At what point, as I said, we were watching in the car on the phone, and at the 200-metre mark, my co-pilot said, "What do you think? Would you back her now?" And I said, "No." It's almost like the last stride, Pete, that you thought she was going to win. Is that how you felt?
Yeah. I have watched it a few times, and every time I watch it, it seems to get closer and closer to defeat, you know. So it's... She just got there. She motored, and, you know, it's all 50% for her and 50% for Hugh Bowman. He's the consummate professional. He got the best out of her.
That was the key, wasn't it, Peter? Like, I guess when you miss the start by four lengths, it would have been so easy to just panic a little and hunt the horse up to get back in touch with the field, but Hugh Bowman just doesn't panic, does he?
No, I think... Mate, I think it was one of those days where a lifetime of experience, you know, from riding horses when you're 4 and 5 years old at Dunny Doo and to build up for the rest of his life to become the guy that we expect him to be to make the right decisions. And, mate, he's just cool as a cucumber. He summed it all up, got it right. And if it was a different result, it certainly wouldn't have been from him not giving it 1,000%.
What's better, Peter, and it might be hard for you to answer given you have a very, very much a vested interest, and we've been talking a little bit about this morning, to see Winx win spectacularly well by 4 or 5 or 6 lengths, or to see Winx really tested and put on a performance yesterday? That is very memorable.
Oh, it is. It makes good theatre. It's heart-stopping for us and everyone else, but it's nice to get to the 200 and look like you've got them covered and... You can enjoy the win a bit better from our perspective. But, yeah, it's certainly great for racing. And, you know, we're like, you can't complain if you win. You know, you can't be a sore winner.
Exactly.
And we were just grateful that it happened the way that it did for our benefit and the benefit of, you know, racing and the racing public. You know, we've certainly taken a back seat now with what happens. And we love the run to keep going, and we love to see the... enthusiasm from everybody that comes to the track, you know. It's just amazing with the kids that were there yesterday and they're having as big a thrill from the ones in prams, you know, right up to 8, 9, 10 year olds. They're really enjoying it.
It's one of those moments, wasn't it, Pete, when you can say, "I was there the day." Do you know what I mean? Like the day when she missed the kick by four and she wasn't supposed to win and she won.
And you witnessed greatness, as we've been talking about.
It's certainly... Certainly amazing, but mate, all adds to the story, and it just keeps rolling on.
Yeah, terrific, Pete, and long may it continue to roll on. It was extraordinary scenes after the race, and that's only going to continue to build as this famous winning streak continues. It's up to win number 18, and I think all the racing world's looking forward to her potentially racing again in a couple of weeks. Peter, good to see you yesterday. More importantly, good to see you in the winner's stall afterwards, and thanks for joining us on Sunday morning as well.
No, that's all great. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Pete.
There he is, Peter Tighe, part owner of Winx.
Werther is right up to the task, and he sweeps to the lead, getting past Blazing Speed, deeper out Eagle Way, then Gold Mount, Elaine Charisma, inside the furlong, Werther bloke clear from Blazing Speed, then Eagle Way, but Werther, the horse of the year, is roaring away with the champions and Chater from Blazing Speed and Eagle Way. How sweet it is, Werther!
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And we're just hoping to get Chris Waller very shortly. And that was one of the extraordinary things yesterday, Jim, was the crowd reaction to the Mighty Mare. And I think we've got Chris on the line to join us now. Chris, good morning. And in that whole aftermath of all the drama and everything that happened yesterday with Winx's win, could you sense that crowd reaction?
Not really sure, Ray. Yeah. Morning, Jimmy. No, I don't know if my senses were working.
It was a bit like that, wasn't it, Chris? What was your feelings first when she came out 4 lengths last? And then, as I mentioned to Jimmy earlier, I didn't think she could win on the turn, given the times that were being run at Randwick yesterday. I thought, well, she's going to have to produce something mathematically almost unheard of to win, but she did.
Yeah, what were my thoughts? It's hard to have the same thoughts that you have when you go to the races with other horses, because she does overcome these types of problems. Mm. And I guess the other thing is I've sort of been waiting for this. She's always been a little bit flighty, especially first run. I would say it wasn't a surprise, but he was a bit shocked to see it happen. That's probably a better way of putting it. And when she was back last, I thought, gee, only you can make up for it now. And she had the right man and she had on board who never panics. I was just hoping that it was just a chance that she could just join up and obviously not use up too much petrol in doing so and still be strong on the straight.
Chris, is there something you can do about that, you know, early on in a preparation in the barriers, or is it just one of the quirks of this horse?
Yeah, it's probably one of the quirks of her, and we try not to do too much. I can't just take her back to the barriers this morning and every morning until the next start, because that can often make them worse.
Right.
Otherwise, we would be doing it. We can put barrier blankets on, we can keep the earmuffs on her in their race, but that could change things as well. We don't want to really risk that, but we'll go through everything and just see how much it was just a bit of nervous first up butterfly type thing. Mm. And we'll get a feel for her over the next 14 days prior to her next run and try and leave no stone unturned, Jimmy. Mm.
Do you get a physical reaction to her racing, especially with a race like that, Chris?
I get a lot of satisfaction when she does things right, and because the first up run's so important, it sets the whole preparation really. Because you can make minor adjustments, but you just want to see them come back well and make sure that they're still as good as they were when they went out, because they are 6 months older than when she last raced. So it wasn't a lot of satisfaction there yesterday, but other than the fact that I know she's come back well, but she's got to keep on top of her. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why she'll run in 2 weeks, rather than going 4 weeks between runs, where she could well be very fresh then and you could be flirting with danger if that was the case.
Mm-hmm. Is that because she's a bit older now, Chris? I think you mentioned to us during the week at a media call she's probably 7 or 8 kilos heavier again than she was in the autumn, so you're reluctant to, I guess, space her runs too much this spring?
Yeah, very much so, Ray. And I think that was a pretty generous 7 or 8 kilos too. It could have been more, 9 to 10.
Okay.
But she'd certainly done everything right in her training, and she'd done all her fitness work. She looked really fit. And it indicated that after the race, she didn't even bloat. So that was quite remarkable. And as you said, with the conditions on the day, with that tailwind, maybe that made it a bit harder for her as well. So she certainly pulled up as well as I've seen in the first set run before, so we certainly had a ready to go.
That's great
news. Right, because that is the concern, isn't it, that she had a gut buster, but you don't think that's the case, Chris?
I guarantee it's the best she's ever pulled up after a race, because she'll normally have a really good blow and sweat up quite bad. Yesterday, she was good as gold, and I went and saw her 15 minutes after the race, and you wouldn't have even known she's run. That's a rare commodity for her.
Right, so just to clarify then, the two-time WS Cox Plate winner has never been better after a first-up run. What I'm saying is, because everyone else who thinks they've got a horse that might run well in the Cox Plate's just gone, bloody hell.
In terms of blowing and fitness, that was as good as I've seen it pull up after a first-up run,
actually is similar to the sentiments that Hugh Bowman said immediately after the race, Chris, which surprised me. I said, Hugh, they cut that fine. He said, in the end, it was actually pretty easy.
And I haven't actually spoken to him a couple of words after the race. He sent me a photo of what he was drinking last night to get over the day, and I said, I wonder what I was drinking.
He needed a stiff drink to calm down, probably. He doesn't show it on the outside.
That's exactly what it was.
As you mentioned, the Chelmsford comes up in a couple of weeks, and there's so many factors that come into play, Chris, but given hopefully some dry weather, Sydney race fans will get the opportunity to see Winks probably three or four more times this spring.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. It was good to see the track hard and fast yesterday. It was a bit too fast, but at least gives them something to work with. We get a bit of rain between now and the next big race days, well, at least it can handle it. Mm. Whereas before, it's never had a chance to catch up. It's always been wet.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's any chance Winks could catch a football? We might put her on the wing for the Wallabies, Chris. They need something.
Yeah.
You had a big day yesterday, Chris. The All Blacks just sit back and watch them win as well.
Yeah, it was a funny game. They absolutely killed them in the first half. Mm. Second half, the Aussie went all right.
Now, only a Kiwi could say it was a funny game. Well, he's got slaughtered. But
the sad news is that's normally the closest one. When they go to eat bark, it's normally...
Oh, that could be
you're
even
quite
more
right,
horrendous.
Actually. You're quite right. Yeah, I think maybe the All Blacks did a Winks for them. Let them get close. Chris, unbelievable. Congratulations. Start of what's going to be a really exciting journey for Winks and indeed the racing public. And the non-racing public, which is the incredible thing about Winks as well. Great to have you on this morning, Chris.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, Chris.
There he is, Chris Waller. Always good with his time on this program, and as we know, he's a very busy man.
Yeah, and just as an example, just quickly, Jim, before we go team with a scratch, this is from Mumbo, I think it is. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Only one word for the mighty mare, Winks. Wow.
Mm.
The emotion she is able to give everyday Aussies in their lounge rooms is fantastic. What a majestic horse. Greatness all over.
Yeah, fantastic. Time now for those scratchings. We say good morning for the first time to Tanya. Morning, Tan.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Taree and Maruya. Starting with Taree, the weather is fine. The track a good three. The rail is true, and there are eight scratchings. The first is clear. Race two, take out number three, as Kenny as number three. Race three, number seven, Regenza, take out seven. Out of race four, number two, Oakfield Costa, number two. Race five is clear. Race six, number three, Bandit Bay. 10, Tuavasa, and 11, Spinning Gold. 3, 10, and 11. Race seven, take out six, King Viv, and 12, Miss Tickles. 6 and 12. And race eight at Taree is clear. Maruya, the weather is fine. The track a good four. The rail is out 3 metres from the 1,000 to the 375-metre mark, then the cutaway. And there are 13 scratchings. Race one is clear. Out of race two, take number six, Arrow's Destiny, number six. Race three, number 15, Patty Cat, 16, Lampito, 17, All Say What, and 18, Dasha, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Race four, take out 12, Claradale Lass, 13, Sang Real, 14, Tay-Tay Taylor, and 15, Kiana Queen, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Race five, number one, And There Is More, 5, She-Oak, and 10, Captain Haddock, 1, 5, and 10 out of the fifth. Race 6 is clear, and race 7, take out 15, Smoke Alarm, number 15 out of race 7 at Maruya.
A couple of tips today. Both my best bets are scratched from those two venues.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll restock.
How'd you go last week?
We got one, didn't we?
One from
and
four.
And we've got a profit.
And it, oh,
four
really?
Yeah.
You got 480.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
The Tari Cup Day. Look, we'll go in the Cup. Big push for Admiral Jello. Look, he's going to start favourite, but I thought number three, Sofin, could run a real race at the odds. Race seven, number three, Sofin. Other at Maruya this afternoon.
Yes.
I thought race three, number one, Bills, My Boy, will be hard to beat. Down to the last, race seven, number one, Catch the Culprit.
Catch the Culprit. There we go. We'll put all of those out on social media as well for people who are interested in following those tips. And dare I say it, do it. Because you've been, look, back, slow start last week, but I expect you to get back to the form you're in before you went away on your holiday. Zorba will be up next, all the latest in the world of rugby league. Stick around, news time now on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Police are among the authorities denying a 7-year-old Australian boy missing after the Barcelona terror attack has been found. Spanish newspaper El Mundo had reported on Saturday afternoon local time that Julian Cadman had been found at a hospital in Barcelona, citing a source within the Catalan police. However, this was followed by denials from the Catalan force and British authorities. Sydney boy Julian became separated from his seriously injured mother, Jom, when a van ploughed into crowds in the city's busy Las Ramblas district on Friday. The boy's father, Andrew, has arrived in Spain. Meanwhile, police are still trying to determine whether two other suspected Islamist militants linked to the attack have died or are at large. The Spanish government said it considered it had dismantled the cell behind Thursday's rampage and an attack early on Friday in the seaside town of Cambrils. Police arrested four people in connection with the attacks in Barcelona and Cambrils. A woman was killed when a car rammed passers-by in Cambrils on Friday. Five attackers wearing fake explosive belts were also shot dead. Interior Minister Juan Ignacio Zoido.
It can be said that the terrorist cell in Barcelona has been dismantled because of so many dead, so many detained, and the identifications that are being carried out.
Finland's Prime Minister Juha Sipilä has urged his country to unite against hatred in the wake of the country's first terrorist attack. An 18-year-old has been arrested after going on a stabbing rampage in the Finnish city of Turku. Two women were killed and eight others injured. The BBC's Risto Pulkka has more details.
Police have given few details about the attacker other than saying he's 18 and a Moroccan national who's lived in Finland since 2016. They have also described him as a potential radical Islamist, saying the assault and his actions before it resembled other recent ones. But it was also markedly different in one way. The man only targeted women. The men he stabbed were ones that tried to stop him. Four other Moroccan men have been arrested in connection with the attack and an international search warrant has been issued for a fifth.
Back home, and Senator Nick Xenophon is the latest Australian politician caught up in the dual citizenship scandal. The crossbench senator confirms he is a British overseas citizen by descent as a result of his father emigrating to Australia from a British territory. Senator Xenophon will refer himself to the High Court, sitting as the Court of Disputed Returns, when Parliament resumes in 2 weeks' time. It comes after Deputy Nationals leader Fiona Nash revealed on Friday that she was a UK citizen by descent. She's the third member of Malcolm Turnbull's cabinet to be affected. A 49-year-old man has died after his car hit a tree stump during a club car rally in Tasmania. The accident occurred during one of the late stages of the rally on Forestry Roads near Scottsdale yesterday afternoon. Event organisers and other participants administered first aid until paramedics arrived, but the driver was pronounced dead at the scene. His 33-year-old navigator was taken to a Launceston hospital and is in a stable condition with suspected multiple fractures. Also in news, two men have died in a drag racing crash at Willowbank Raceway in Queensland. This is Air News. Melbourne Storm have claimed the minor NRL premiership with a 44-12 win over Newcastle, and the Roosters edged out the West Tigers 22-18, while Cronulla held on to beat a battered Cowboys in North Queensland. The Sharks strolled to a 26-16 win, dominating the first half with four tries before switching off and letting the Cowboys back into the contest. But captain Paul Gallen says any win in Townsville is a good victory.
I'm quite positive about it. We had a win in North Queensland. As Fiona said, it's always hard to come up here and have a win against a side that, you know, they're a good side. And the first half was great, and it's a stepping stone in the right direction.
Hawthorn's James Sicily had a shocker in the AFL, giving away 7 free kicks as Carlton forward Jed Lamb got the better of him last night. The 12-5-77 to 10-10-70 victory was the Blues' first win over Hawthorn since 2005 and broke an 8-game losing streak.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Shiraz. By DeBortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Don't miss the Sea Folly Swimwear Warehouse Sale. Nothing over $40. Ladies' separates from $30, samples and kidswear from $10. Must end today. Hurry into Paddington Town Hall. In Liverpool, we've got a 2-car accident on the Hume at Campbell Street. 2 or 3 southbound lanes are closed. In Erskine Park, look out for livestock on Mamre Road at the northern end of Erskine Park Road. And we've got delays heading to the airport. It's heavy on Marsh Street approaching the International Terminal. Chips are cheap as at Red Rooster. For a limited time only, get a regular serving of Red Rooster's famous chips for just $1. That's a winner-winner in anyone's books. T's and C's apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
For the past 6 years, Slats and I have told you about the exotic delights of Hong Kong. Now here's your chance to sample the sights and sounds of one of the world's truly great weeks of racing with Ambassador Travel, and do it in 5-star style. Private corporate boxes at Happy Valley on Wednesday, and on Sunday you're off to Sha Tin for 4 Group 1s in the climax of the Turf World Championships. In between, you can shop, cruise the harbour, head to Macau, play golf at Mission Hills, or just relax. Why not extend and take in mainland China? Call Ambassador Travel right now, 1-800-777-989, or log on to ambassadortravel.com.au.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline. Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney weather, mostly sunny, winds southwest to southeasterly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour, reaching 35 kilometres an hour along the coast in the morning, becoming light in the evening. So not as strong as they have been over the last couple of days. Large and powerful surf conditions though, so be careful if you're rock fishing or you're swimming or you're surfing. 0% chance of rain, a maximum of 17 degrees in a mostly sunny day for Sydney town. Now, what about at Mount Druitt? And let's go south to Maruya, Raymond.
Mount Druitt, currently cool start in the morning, Jim, just 6 degrees. Will heat up, though, to 18 degrees later on today at Mount Druitt. Maruya for the races this afternoon, even colder start to the day. Only 5 degrees, ooh, but a lovely sunny day, a top of 16.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. Big second hour coming up on Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. We'll very shortly talk to Peter Peters about all things NRL, and in particular the salary cap, $9.4 million. Just hopefully the players will except that. Phil Moss will come on and talk all things soccer. Liverpool had a win overnight, James.
Yeah, so did Manchester United, 4-0.
Yes.
Away from home.
Liverpool 1-0 against Crystal Palace at lovely Anfield. I told you I went there, didn't I?
Oh, yes, saw the photos.
Yeah. Z and Z quiz time. Score check. Producer Jeremy still checking this out. Going to the steward report on
this. Is he?
16-15, you're away.
Uh-huh.
Plenty to cram. And plus your calls. Love to hear your thoughts on our talk topic today, and that is witnessing greatness. I was fortunate enough to witness that yesterday with the Mighty Winks.
And have you heard of falling out with one of your colleagues?
That's my good friend, Dean Ritchie.
Dean Ritchie's also in this hour as well, and yet you failed to promote him.
Dino's listening to this. He'll give it to me when he comes on. Sorry, Dino. So important part of the show. We're building up to you.
Right. We're building up to Zorb too. We have him on every Sunday. We look forward to that. There's so much stuff to get through. Let's go to him straight away. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, boys.
Morning,
okay,
Pete.
Melbourne Storm win the minor premiership. I know we probably say it every year, but is there enough done by the league to acknowledge the performance of the team that finishes first?
Well, I'll be straight up front. I think it's embarrassing. Mm. They've wrapped up another minor premiership, $100,000 that comes with the honour and the historically treasured JJ Giltman Shield. $100,000 for first past the post in the premiership rounds is, I think, an insult for such a prestigious competition. Should be increased to at least $500,000.
Yep.
I find that just insulting. And just on the Storm, that game in Newcastle yesterday, you know, they ended up winning it by a clear margin. But gee, Newcastle have come a long way in the last month. Good luck to them. That 44-12 scoreline didn't tell how contested it was, but Storm's next game away could be the grand final. They'll play two home semis, or if they win the first one, they get another one there, and then they'll be straight through to the grand final. So they might not have to play away from Melbourne again before the big game when they'll play the Broncos.
Yeah, good points, Peter. Nathan Brown, good to see him have some success there, and they made some good signings next year the night, so a lot of upside for them. The Storm, Pete, the Craig Bellamy era, it's just been one of almost unparalleled success, hasn't it?
Certainly has, but it's not over yet. It's not over yet, Ray. I still think the Broncos have got plenty of firepower in them and the type of game that can worry Melbourne. Going to be interesting next weekend. They looked flat a few weeks ago when they were beaten 28-14 by Parra. And they got a real good start to that game. But that's typical Wayne Bennett preparation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Down a little bit. We've seen it all before.
Yeah.
A few weeks before the semis, they have a bit of a downer. And then they come home strongly. And they've won three straight since they got beaten by Parramatta. And they meet the Eels again next round. I think the match looms as a real test to see where both sides are. Said for weeks, I expect the Broncos Storm grand final. Nothing's changing my mind. In fact, I'm getting more confident about it every week.
Yeah, both looking pretty good. Just a quick one, Pete. I mentioned the Bellamy era. It's not over yet by any means. Cooper Cronk's time at the Storm coming to an end. But as Craig Bellamy does, he just seems to find these players coming through the ranks. What did you make of Brody Croft yesterday?
Oh, absolutely outstanding. Yeah. I mean, one individual try, I had to look twice. I thought it was Billy Slater.
Yeah.
It was just unbelievable. I looked at the jumper, number 19. I said, how good is this kid? Yeah, really good, really good. A lot of people throwing the Roosters up. Their form, two losses before, I thought, a fairly unimpressive win last night.
Yeah.
Lucky win, yeah.
Yeah, Jared Warrior Hargraves, the dumbest penalty I've seen for a long time. That errant elbow to Lola here when they led 16-12, it'll lead to a fine, if not more. Then the Tigers hit the front before a late try in the rain to win the game. The Roosters, that's not good enough form for them, and they're struggling a bit.
Yeah, patchy, I think is the way
but
to describe it.
But you see James Tedesco, he'll be at the back next year. Wow, what a game from him last night.
Isn't he unbelievable? Just
great
the
player.
Things that he can do. Like, just dummy, you just think Boyd Cordner, if you have your time again, you're dummy. But they happen in a split second. They just happen in a split second. I want to ask you a question, Zorp.
Yeah.
If you, and look, we're looking forward to this Rugby League World Cup at the end of the year. Who's Mal Meninga going to play at 5'8"?
I'm a Munster man. I think Cameron Munster is, he showed me in Origin that he's the future. No one's going to get near Australia on our home soil, and I don't think it's a gamble. It's either him or James Maloney. They're the Origin 5'8", and I think he's the future Munster. I'm a Munster monster.
Who do you think, Jim? There's another one that played Origin this year at 5'8" too. I think Anthony Milford. Anthony Milford alongside Cooper Cronk.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he's a good player. I still go for Munster.
Who do you go for, Jim?
Milford.
Okay, there you
go. Yeah, Milford. Yeah, good player. I don't think he's got the defence that we need. I think Munster's probably a better all-round player. The other players, Milford's very brilliant. Either would do the job.
He cut the Dragons to ribbons, didn't he?
Yeah.
And did you hear Wayne Bennett's comments after the match as well? Very interesting about Anthony Milford, Zorb. He said he's taking his game to a new level because he's taking more ownership and responsibility on the football field.
Well, Happy Joe Happy's not ever worried about pumping his own players' tyres up. He pinched him from Canberra, so... all that rubbish going on before he went back there. Look, he's a good player, Milford, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Boys, 3 weeks out from the final.
Yes.
Who's the number one ref?
Matt Checken.
You think?
Yes.
Okay. Well, if it's not Chicken, it's got to be either Ben Cummings or Jared Sutton. Would we all agree with that?
I don't mind the badge either.
Well, it's interesting. Guess where the badge has been this week? Pocket ref Friday night, pocket ref today. He's a pocket rocket now, badge.
He's better than that. Yeah.
Well, I think he's better than that, but he's been reduced to a pocket referee. I think that's a bit of an insult to the old bloke.
Absolutely,
who's been,
yeah.
You know, a few weeks ago we were lauding him for his 300th first grade game, and was it just a farewell for him and exit stage left?
Well, who's your number one ref then, Pete?
Oh, I think Chicken.
Yeah.
But I'm very I think what's happening now is that the two referees, which we've had for years, I don't think anybody likes it now. There's all those people that wanted it brought in have now faded into oblivion and don't talk about it anymore. But I thought Grant Atkins was an up-and-comer, but he's gone whistle crazy. And he's got a poor approach to the players now. Blew the pee out of the whistle the other night.
Yeah.
None of the other referees, like Chris Sutton, Gavin Reynolds, Adam G, Henry Perinara.
They're not coming on, are they?
They're not coming on. And they're not coming on because they're coming out of this pocket referee system, which doesn't give them the confidence they need. I just think it's time that we reviewed it and we put it to the coaches and the people in the game that understand the game, ex-players, coaches, everybody, have a summit about it, come out with something. They still don't use it overseas. So we're the only country doing it, and I don't think it's worked.
Cowboys
gone, boys.
Oh, yeah. Before we get to that, Zorb, Hayne v. Henry v. Elgi. I thought it was extraordinary from a man as experienced as Graham Annesley to put out on Sunday a press release saying you're going to have a meeting on Monday to discuss. Like, those meetings happen in football clubs all the time.
In-house.
Just don't tell anyone about
in-house.
It.
In-house.
It's been a farce at the Titans where I think Graham Annesley is the CEO and the chairwoman, Rebecca Frizzell, got a lot to answer for. They presided over a highly embarrassing situation between the coach, Neil Henry, and Jared Hayne, his star player.
Yeah.
Surely it should have been settled by now. The situation isn't going away. It's Henry or Hayne. We know it's going to be Henry. It, you know, come to a decision and move on. I mean, it's like Indian water torture.
It is, yeah. Now, sad what's happening there. And you mentioned earlier about not coming on. The Cowboys are brave again last night, but that injury toll has really crippled their back half of the season, Zorb.
They've lost four in a row. They play the Tigers next week, who have a win over Manly and a narrow loss to the Roosters last night in their last two games. They play them at Campbelltown. And, you know, if they don't win that one, they play the Broncos at home the next week. So they've been stuck now on 28 points. So I don't think they're going anywhere soon. Too many injuries, seven or eight good players out, including a couple of stars. I think they're gone whichever way it goes. But very brave, as you said.
Been brave for 3 weeks. $9.4 million. Manly's thoughts on that? Your thoughts on that?
Look, I'm not against the players earning more money. I'm against some of the spending that goes on from the NRL. I think they spend money to satisfy public opinion. And the players are the most important part of our game. Without them, we don't have a game. So I'm all for them getting an increase, particularly at the back end of the contracts where young players are playing full time. I'd like to see them get more money. I'm not against that increase, but I am against some of the spending that's gone on that just doesn't deserve the money spent where it's being put at.
Do you think there should be a cap on football department spending?
I'm not about making everybody equal. If a club is run better and has better sponsorship and better membership, and I'm all for those clubs being able to grow and let the others, let the laggers come up to the standard of the top clubs. I'm not about that, no.
Yeah, all right, interesting. Now, the Zapper, you were let down by Manly last week, who led comfortably and then were run down by the West Tigers at Leichhardt. What do you got for the listeners this week?
Well, half-time, I was thinking 30 or 40 in that game.
Yeah. I think that's what all the Manly players were thinking.
Everybody else, too, outside of
the I mentioned before Grant Atkins. I thought the end of the game, cast your mind back to it. I haven't seen it written anywhere or said anywhere. When young Brad Parker lost the ball close to his own goal line, which gave possession up to the West Tigers, a player for Manly in an offside position fell on the ball. It's a mandatory penalty every day of the week. Now, the West Tigers players were screaming for a penalty, and Atkins ruled a scrum. From the scrum win, they scored the match-winning try. But it was a scoring of the try that probably mirrored the mistake by the referee, glossed it over. But, gee, I thought it was a bad mistake. And it stopped the game from going into... they would have taken a shot at goal, and it would have been golden point game. So it was a pretty bad mistake. Incidentally, before we go to the Zappers...
Yes.
ARU should be charged with murder. I watched a bit of that. They've killed their own game. It's unbelievable.
I tell you what it is. Rugby union is a cautionary tale for all professional sports about how quickly it can fade.
Yep. Good point.
54 to 34 in a test match. Down by 40.
That's
or something at half time.
That's a national team, Pete. That's our national team.
Our national team. Mm. And our women got beaten by 48 by France last week. Mm.
Good side, the French women's side.
Oh, okay. Canberra Penrith today. What's the start?
Oh, this is a -6.5 for the Raiders.
Good game, this.
-6.5 for the Raiders.
I know. It's almost a toss of the coin game, isn't it?
It is.
Well, I was thinking, I was going to talk to you this morning and say I'll declare Penrith as specials, but giving away 6.5, I don't think there's going to be that much in it. I think Penrith will win the game, I think, only because every try is a six-pointer. He's just the most valuable player of the comp at the moment for the Panthers in Nathan Cleary. It'll be a heck of a game.
Yeah, can't wait.
I don't think Canberra can make the eight. I think Penrith can, and they can wrap it up with a win today. But I wouldn't be taking... I'll just take them to win the game.
No, so, sorry, Canberra -6.5. So Panthers are the outsiders, $2.65. No, that's what I mean. Panthers +6.5. That's into a dollar. Do you want to take the +6.5 or go head to head?
No, I want to take the 6.5. I think that's the bet of. Well, I'm not going to say the year, but it's pretty close to it.
Righto, then Bulldogs and Manly.
What's the start in this?
-10.5 for Manly.
I'll just take Manly by one. I want Manly to win, as everyone knows, but I'll take them to win.
Just
but
Manly head to head.
A big start.
Yeah, jeez, you've lost your bottle.
No. Well, I'm
you're worried about Dez, are you, Pete?
They've been so bad for so long. They haven't played for 10 days. Everybody's throwing everything at them. They've got nothing to lose today. And beautiful day. It'll be a good game. Penrith was a start into Manly at the line.
Penrith the start plus Manly. No, Manly head-to-head, didn't you? Or you want to go Manly at the line now?
Yeah, head-to-head.
Head-to-head, right. $1.80 into $1.22. Penrith +6.5. Not quite better the year, but in the grand final for better the year. And then Manly, any result will do as long as it's a Manly victory at $1.22. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak next week.
See you, boys.
There he is, Peter Peters, with all his thoughts in the world of rugby league.
That is a big start, isn't it? +6.5.
I know. That's what I think. I think it's a toss of the coin game.
Yeah, I missed what you said anyway.
Hey, guys, if you have time, would you be able to give this a plug? 23rd of September, Club Dubbo. This is Michelle from Dubbo. Yeah, we can. We can give it a plug. A night with Tommy. Tommy Radonikis in aid of Dubbo Cancer Centre, Saturday the 23rd of September at 6 p.m. $200 for a table of eight. So there you go. $25 a head. Raffles for major prizes,
et cetera,
et cetera.
He's a great after-dinner speaker.
Yeah, he did. He's a good man, Tommy. Had his own challenges with cancer as well, so great to see him out there supporting those people in Dubbo. 13-53-53, open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Can't choose between your favourite runners? Place a $3 mystery box trifecta on Trackside. And if your three runners finish first, second or third in any order, you win 50% of the trifecta dividend.
Visit your local tab to play Trackside.
Gamble responsibly.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley Trust loading new LG, Samsung, Fisher & Paykel and Hitachi fridges ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new LG, Samsung, Fisher & Paykel or Hitachi fridge from Bingley and get free full service delivery.
You know when the beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon. So be quick.
See in store at bingley.com.au for details.
Your business needs a cash injection to grow, but the banks say no.
You need it nice and simple, and they still say no.
You don't want to hand over the deed to your house, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not a mountain of paperwork, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
For the best price and range in a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man, James Smith?
The man from Mazda.
Penrith Mazda with 300 new cars in stock, over 5 acres, but Jimmy can exclusively reveal?
6.
Because you walked it, didn't you?
Actually, I stepped it out. Yeah.
Penrith Mazda's BT50 Ute Centre has over 50 utes on display. Let them make you a great package deal. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat in Cafe Zoom while your car is serviced. See the Mazda experts today. Penrith Mazda 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. Hot favourites to win it again in 2017.
$4,
says Jim. They're family owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD188-08.
Kyrgios sends Australia through to the semi-finals. Congratulations from the captain, Jim Courier, Sam Querrey. Disappointment for him, but not Australian team.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
You've got to listen to those writing instructions from the boss, producer Jeremy.
Well, if they were sensible instructions, I would listen. So, got a shout out, Raymond, to Rennie from Silk Studios, who listens to the program all the time. So, good on you, Rennie.
Good morning, Rennie.
Heard that from Gaz, one of our Fox Sports cameramen. So, good stuff, Rennie. Keep listening, mate. Make sure you ring in at some stage. You might get yourself a prize courtesy of Sony Music or one of our others, Prakash and the team out there at Parramatta. My memorable sporting moment was the 4th of April, 1976. I got a first four and a three-leg multi on the same day. And Mrs. Monkey still hasn't heard about it.
Yes,
the
now.
World was good. That's from Master Monkey. But Mrs. Monkey mightn't know she's Mrs. Monkey.
Good point.
You know, Master Monkey might be a nom de plume that he uses outside of the household.
She'd be none the wiser.
None the wiser. That's exactly right.
Let's go to our callers, Jim.
Hello, Peter. No, hello, Midnight.
Hello, Jimmy. How are you, boys?
Good morning, Midnight. How are you?
I'm good, mate. I'm just driving the Steve Foster Commodore up to Taree Races.
Oh, there you go. Nice. Love it. Nice. Yes, sponsors.
Jimmy, listen to me. Sony says he's along the way.
Nice.
You're all over it, Midnight.
Did you drop into Penrith Mazda?
You're all over it, Midnight. Hey, Midnight, you can't let us down. Have you got a team for us this week?
Yeah, I've got a team.
Yeah, what's the theme?
Well, I was just looking through all my CDs here in the console.
Oh, here we go.
And I've managed to shuffle them into a team.
Okay. Away you go, mate.
Right, Amy, fullback. Old North Sydney boy, Richard Harris.
Yeah.
Me wingers, Les Kiss and Michael Jackson. My centres, Brett Kenny and Steve Rogers. My halves, Barry Russell and Steve Morris. My lock, Richard Corn. My second row, Albert Paul and Terry McCartney. My top, John Williamson and Glenn Miller.
Yes, Glenn Miller,
I had to be Ray Brown. And my coach, an old Newtown boy, Tom Jones.
Outstanding.
You've got a very diverse music collection there.
I love the centre combination. Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
I've got a special for the Taree Cup too.
Oh, here
Fire
we go.
Away,
yeah.
Going head to head with me.
Hey, Louis. Admiral Jello.
Yeah, he's the horse to beat, isn't he?
You know how I come up with that, Jimmy?
I'm looking forward to hearing Midnight.
I just had a look to see what Ray picked to run second.
Oh, gee, I tell you what. You keep talking Ray down like that, you
producer Jeremy won't put you on the program.
Nah,
good on you, Midnight.
It. Good luck today, Midnight.
Yeah, enjoy listening to those CDs on your way up to Taree. Hello, Peter.
Yeah, hi, boys. How you going?
Really well, mate.
That's good. I think my greatest sporting moment has to be Australia 2 in 1983. And I just had a query about the footy yesterday. I was at the Knights game, and after Wardle scored the try and the kickoff, Melbourne got awarded a penalty. Do you know what that was for?
You know what? I was in the car listening
game.
To the races and listening to the footy on the radio. So, no. I'm sorry, Pete.
No worries.
Check it out for you, Pete.
Yeah, we'll have a look at it.
We'll try
and get a look at it, and we'll try and make an announcement before the end of the show, Pete.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thanks, Pete. We'll get on to that. Stick around listening till 10 o'clock, and we'll hopefully have an answer. Okay, Ron. Good morning, mate.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, really well, buddy.
Oh, I love that Midnight. He's a classic, isn't he?
Not bad. Not bad.
No. Hey, you're talking about referees. Who do you two guys think was the best referee you ever saw?
Bill Harrigan.
Ever saw Bill Harrigan?
Yeah. Now, that's the answer. But I reckon the second best was Cam Smith. It's a bit of a joke going around, but I think it's quite true. 350 games.
Very, very good.
Never made it blue.
Very good.
Now, this is a quick one, guys. The September the 3rd up here at Moree.
Yeah.
Moree Cup Day, mate.
We've got to get up, haven't we, Jim, one day?
September 3rd.
Yeah, Father's Day.
Oh,
is that Father's Day, is it? There we go.
You've got some port at the station. Might do a
13 years ago,
yeah.
A little bloke called Zach Turton won the cup.
You're Zach. You're the number one.
My Zach, mate. I got him up here.
Yeah, he's a star, isn't he, Zach?
And he rode a Tamworth horse to victory, right?
Okay.
There you go.
Been a couple of Moree Cups.
What a great day, Ron.
Great day.
Okay, we'll work on trying to get to the Moree Cup. I don't like our chances, Ron.
Yeah, neither do I.
We haven't got much pull here at all. But
well, if you could have a live broadcast.
Yeah, we'd love a live broadcast. We'd love a live broadcast there. We love going on the road.
We do.
Except, of course, Wellington.
You've got the Artesian Springs here.
We can pop in and see Mum on the way through, Jim.
We'd do that. See Mrs. Thomas. And then, of course, we'd go to the Artesian Springs. They're amazing, those things.
On the way through?
Yeah. Have you ever been to the ones at Moree?
No, but I've been to a couple of Moree Cups.
Right.
Great fun.
Okay. Didn't really prove the point. But anyway, Doug, good morning.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How
good morning,
are you
Doug.
All?
Really well, mate.
Things to say. Nathan Brown, he's a good player for Parramatta. Should he be playing for Australia too?
I'm not sure Australia, but I tell you what,
if he keeps going
the way he's going, Doug, I'd dare you to leave him out of the State of Origin team next year.
He's been a really good buy for Parramatta this year.
Yeah.
Consistent, and he's been playing with injury too a fair bit.
Yeah.
He's as tough as, isn't he, Doug?
Yes, he is. And so is Greg Hartley, the referee. He was a good referee too
He was one of the greats.
He's one of our good friends.
Very theatrical.
Yeah. Zorba's mate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully he's listening. If he is, good morning, Greg, and hope life as well. He's out Bathurst way now, isn't he?
Golgong? Is he?
Out that way.
Golgong?
Golgong.
Yeah. Good morning, Hollywood. Hope you're well, mate.
Yeah, good on you, Holly. That's it, Dougie?
Yes, mate, and I like your show, mate. You've got a good show on there, mate. You've got the best sports show.
Thanks so much,
Doug. I think we've done it before. We're going to do it again. Doug, CDs coming your way.
Yeah, more CDs.
Courtesy of Sony Music. I don't care what they are. Just send them out to Dougie. Those sort of comments. You know what they say, right?
Get him a long way, won't you, Jim?
Compliments will get you everywhere. So good on you, Doug. We do appreciate it. Hey, we've got to go to a break. 13:53 after the break, we'll have a chat with Phil Moss. He's our football expert. Remember him?
Mighty Liverpool.
He used to come into the studio.
Sky Sports Radio has Greyhound Racing covered.
Beacon Street looming large. The young gun, Beacon Street wins.
Beacon Street.
For the Proctor family will represent New South Wales in the National Sprint Championship at Albion Park.
They're heading to Brisbane, Vegas.
While Abby Ripper contests the National Distance Grand Final. Some of the best greyhounds from around Australia do battle. And Dave Carlson will be trackside for all the late mail. Friday night here on Sky Sports Radio.
Most say Hong Kong, we say Honkers. Now's your chance to experience a trip of a lifetime. Departing Tuesday, December 5 with Ambassador Travel. World-class racing, five-star luxury. I guarantee you a Wednesday night you'll never forget. That's racing under lights in Happy Valley. All the action unfolding from the luxury of a corporate box. Catch your breath, it's on again. The big one, the World Championship of Turf at Sharks Inn on Sunday, December 10. Hopefully our best sprinters taking on the rest of the world. There's the shopping, extensions to Beijing or Shanghai, and golf at Mission Hills. Call Ambassador Travel right now. 1-800-777-989 or visit ambassadortravel.com.au.
Everyone knows a festival is only as good as its lineup, and this year, Volksfest 2017 boasts incredible deals across a wide range of Volkswagen models, like the new Amarok Core 4x4, tougher than ever, and yours from only $40,990 drive away, including impressive features like Diff Lock, App Connect, and rear view camera. Don't miss out on this season of great deals during Volksfest 2017. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
Sun and Cullen, I'm the mighty Quinn, the widest runner. Turning our chain of command lead. Smiling Shard, Sun and Cullen. I'm the mighty Quinn out wider. Sun and Cullen hit the lead. Sun and Cullen in front of Smiling Shard and Sun and Cullen. The New Zealander wins the cup.
Sun and Cullen, winner of just under 1.5 million. The richest entire son of Christian Cullen. Winner of four Group 1 races. From a New Zealand Broodmare of the Year. Standing at Urabi Stud. Visit urabi.com.au. You.
Proudly Australian owned and family operated, Garlo's Pie. You know, he's got all his sons working in there too, Garlo. Now.
Why not?
Yeah. Jackson delivers the pies here on a Friday.
Growing empire.
He's a very, very popular man.
Of course.
Garlo's pies are the best premium quality pies. The difference with a Garlo's pie is it's deliciously flaky pastry on top, a bottom that's rolled extra thin, and a filling that is full of 100% lean Aussie beef. These pies, Ray, are bursting with flavour.
Wouldn't know, Jim. There's none left.
Yeah, it's a bit of a point of conjecture with you.
It is.
Even though you probably you're going to go for a run after the show, you'd still have a little pie. You could have a little party pie sort of thing. Garlo's pies, they're available in all Coles and IGA stores. And if you can't find them, please, Ray, go and ask the Garlo's pie by name. But do it sensibly. Don't be in that over-the-top attitude that you can sometimes bring, okay? Where's my pie? Said Ray Thomas.
Can you imagine me saying that?
Never. A magnificent range including lean beef, curry beef and chicken breast pies, plus Garlo's family pies, Cornish pasties, junior pies and world-famous sausage rolls, just to name a few. Garlo's pies, they are thin on pastry, they're big on meat.
Choice with the outswinger.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just before we get to Mossy, this from Greg from Eden. In a club full of people yesterday, and not one of them back winks, but the entire place roared when she hit the front. Great show this morning, gents. It's about not you don't back her.
Who's that from? Greg from
Greg
Eden.
From Eden.
That's a really prize pack, Greg from Eden. That's right, you know, because sometimes it's not just about the punt. It's about the sport.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
About the champions.
It's about witnessing greatness.
Mm. Yeah. And a quick one here from Brett from Broadbeach. A big congratulations to the mighty Warringah Rats for their victory over Manly in the Shoot Shield yesterday, which puts them in next week's grand final. Go the Rats. That's from Brett. He's a loyal listener. Good morning, Brett.
Yeah, good on you, Brett. And Phil Moss is also a loyal listener. There was a time when he used to come into the program, Ray. Remember that? Morning, Phil.
Good morning, guys.
How are you, Phil?
Very well, Ray. You got something nice to say?
Well, we've got plenty of reason to be smiling this morning, Phil, because the good guys are off. Liverpool 1-0 over Stoke at Anfield overnight.
Yes, that's correct, Ray. And Mane, Sadio Mane, off to a flyer as well. He's such a quality player, such a danger. But the flip side of that is Manchester United have had the perfect start as well, Ray. Mm. 8 goals in 2 games with their 4-0 win over Swansea, backed up from the 4-0 win last week against West Ham. And Lukaku, Pogba and Martial on the score sheet 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, they are ominous, aren't they?
Ominous. Mm. They really are. That was the word exactly that was on my mind, Ray. And you can just see a little bit of that swagger returning to Jose Mourinho as well.
And to Jimmy Smith.
Bench.
Don't worry, Phil. He's been punching his chest all morning.
That's the exact reason, Ray, I'm not coming into the studio at the moment.
Well, listen, why don't you blokes want to get involved in the bet like we did last year and see who finishes higher?
I'm happy to.
Well,
you've
got to have conviction in your words, Jimmy. If I'm going to back Manchester United and say that they're my favourite for the title, then why on earth would I back against them?
All right, well, what's point start?
Mate, that's up to you. You do the maths. As I said social media this week, you do the maths, let me know, and then Ray and I will talk to our people. We'll get our people to talk to your people, and we'll do lunch.
Two and a half.
No. You talk to Ray off air and
All right.
I haven't got my calculator with me at the moment.
Righto, what about Spurs-Chelsea? This is going to be big.
This will be absolutely massive, and it brings into sharp focus what we spoke about last week with Spurs having to play their home games at Wembley Stadium, which they haven't had great luck at in recent times, particularly with the Champions League and Europa League. But certainly the two teams are in a very different state. Well, Chelsea are in a very different state from the last time they played each other in the FA Cup semi-final, and Chelsea got the money 4-2 on that occasion. But Spurs look the stronger of the two. I'm putting all my faith in Spurs to get the result in this one.
And when is a player not for sale? And I say that because Liverpool just keep knocking back these offers for Coutinho.
Well, they say in life everything's got its price.
Yes.
I'd like to see Liverpool really have conviction in their words over this one and just say it's over once and for all. I mean, yeah. Coutinho signed a 5.5-year deal back in January. I think the offer's up to about £140 million pounds at the moment. So he's either for sale or he's not. If he's not for sale, then it just needs to go away. But I suppose it won't until the transfer window officially closes at the end of this month.
Mm. All right, let's turn our attention to the Socceroos. 30-man squad being cut down to 23 this Wednesday. The way that he makes up his back three is going to be interesting. What are you anticipating here, Mossy?
Look, I think in a perfect world, Jimmy, Sainsbury, Svranovic and Milligan would probably be the three front runners, which sort of leaves Deganek and Wright, fighting for a spot on the bench. But there are some fitness issues around Sainsbury. He hasn't played a lot of football since the Confederations Cup, reportedly struggling with a little bit of an injury around the groin area. So it'll be interesting to see which way he goes. But certainly if he moves Milligan or if he keeps Milligan in the back three, as he did towards the latter stages of the Confeds Cup, that opens a spot in midfield for Mile Jedinak, our captain, to return with a balance of Moy Rogic, Troisi, Irvine, Luongo, two of those guys in midfield with Jedinak. But Jedinak himself is coming back from injury. So there's a lot of grey areas about what the final makeup of the team will be for these two qualifiers, but they are absolutely crucial. We need 4 points from six, I think, to get through and not have to go through the extra qualifying rounds as the third place getter.
Good point. Phil, speaking of Aaron Moy, he's playing tonight, I think, Huddersfield versus Newcastle. A bit of a battle of promoted almost, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is, Ray. And look, if he can continue his form from match day one in the EPL, we are in for an incredible player for the Socceroos. Yeah. Aaron Moy, the way he stepped up last week got a lot of attention in the UK, a lot of headlines. And if he can put some consistency into those performances, he's going to be unbelievable. We've got Matty Ryan. He made a mistake last night for Brighton and Hove Albion in their loss. But, he's playing in the EPL week in, week out. And Rogic and Matt Leckie are in form. Rogic, 2 assists for Celtic against Kilmarnock, and Leckie, 2 goals on his debut for Hertha Berlin in their win in the Bundesliga overnight. So some really good signs for the Socceroos.
Any A-League news, mate? I suppose at this stage there's a few games around Mossy, but is this about getting miles into players' legs?
Exactly right, Jimmy. Yeah. You know the story from your playing days, but we're 6 weeks plus one out from kickoff. And I say the plus one because generally coaches will plan their pre-season around getting those miles into the legs, getting everyone fit and ready, and then the last week of pre-season is preparation for round one specifically. So we're 6 plus 1 out from kickoff, and there are a lot of games going on at the moment. Western Sydney Wanderers beat Brisbane 4-0 up on the Gold Coast this week. Melbourne City beat the Mariners 3-2 in a behind-closed-doors game. Perth Glory got over Joondalup 1-0 with Adam Taggart getting on the score sheet. So all the teams now starting to get match minutes in their legs.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Good on you, Mossy. We'll speak next week, mate.
been an absolute pleasure. I might see you face-to-face next Sunday, Jimmy.
Outstanding.
Oh, hang on,
outstanding.
Hang on.
If Manchester United lose.
Oh, well, I won't be seeing you next week then.
time your run, Phil. Time your run.
Thanks, Mossy.
But just the way Winks did yesterday, what an outstanding performance that was.
Transcends sport, doesn't
she? Yeah.
It really does.
Fitness greatness.
Good
there
on you,
go.
Phil.
Thanks, Mossy. Phil Moss there with all the latest from the world of football. We'll take a break. After the break, we'll have a chat with Dean Bulldog Richard. We've also got the quiz coming up as well. Score update.
16 with an asterisk, 15 of the good guys.
Sky Sports Radio and Tabcorp would like to remind you donations can be made to the National Jockeys Trust at any time. The Trust assists jockeys and their families experiencing financial hardship. Next time you back a winner, go to njt.org.au.
Bet you'll love waiting for a delayed train, half time at the footy, or even sitting in a dentist's waiting room. Because with the Tab app, you can enjoy live racing on your phone anytime, anywhere. What's more, you can even watch races while you scroll out great odds and bet. Plus, with race replays on demand, you can study the favourites or relive a classic race. Enjoy live racing today. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Race replays excludes Victoria Thoroughbreds. Gamble responsibly.
Your business premises really needs a fresh fit out. But the bank says no.
You need to move fast, but they still say no.
You haven't got time for paperwork, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Mum, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
No, Lionel.
No, but there's free delivery, free unpacking, and we'll take away your old washing machine free. Just buy any Samsung, Simpson or Bosch washer from Bing Lee.
But no free lunch.
No, Mum. Free delivery, free unpacking, and free removal of your old washer.
Will you buy any Samsung, Simpson or Bosch washer from Bing Lee?
The offer won't last, so be quick.
See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Remember, Lionel, lunch is not included.
ZenZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, Ray, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So, if you want the official watch of your team, would you get as the official watch?
I'd get 2 watches.
Or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction. If you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, see Alan, great man Al, at ZNZ Westfield Hurstville, or visit zenz.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. They are proud sponsors of the St. George Junior Referees.
Back it comes to Clement. Clement, the laser ball. Reynolds attacks the line. He's there. This might be the point of this. He gets it down. That's a try. They score finally.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. We've just lost our screens here for a moment. We believe we've got Dean Ritchie on the phone. So now, if you'd like to be a part of the quiz, the ZNZ quiz, so call now to be a part of that. We'll do that after Dino. So ZNZ quiz time. Call now on 1353 53. You'll be able to play for Ray or myself.
Dino is there.
You play for yourself. But
correct.
Yeah. Yes. We believe Dino's not so well either, so it's giving new meaning to as sick as a dog, isn't he? Hello, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, then. How are we?
You got the
what's
got
up?
The dreaded lurgy, Dino.
Oh, it's that wretched flu I've got, Jimmy. It's just yeah, 1 minute you're bloody shaking, and next minute you're sweating. It's been a nasty old bug, but we're battling through, mate, as we do in rugby league.
So that's some of those lifestyle choices that you make, Dino. I think you need to. Be...
Give me not the time to get personal.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, you're right. You're quite right.
Hey, Dino, just a question without notice. 9.4 million salary cap. The Players Association still want to negotiate. What are the major issues at the moment, mate?
Well, they've bottom the proposal, right? Look, it's been signed off by the clubs. It's been signed off by the NRL. It's a very generous offer from Todd Greenberg. And look, I think it's time that we all came together. Look, there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. A lot of banter, a lot of niggle, but now's the time. I think it's the figure's right, the time's right. It's $1 billion for the players. It's a landmark agreement, and I think it's time that they meet today, the RLPA, which they will. There's another meeting tomorrow, I think, and I think it's just got to be signed off on. It can't keep going on. I know that's not all about finances.
Yes.
There are a lot of other issues in the fine print. But it's just got to be done, and this is the best deal for everybody.
Well, I was going to say, they don't have to accept it.
Well, they have to, Jimmy, but I think they should.
No, nah, well,
it's a good deal.
There's some non-financial issues that they want sorted as well, which in the end cost money, so you can say it's non-financial. But as in terms of the figure proposed, $9.4 million, I think that's probably settled at where it's going to be. All right, Gold Coast.
Every salary by the end of the new deal... up from 280 to 340. That's pretty good coin.
I think that's great. I think the best thing that they've done is to have the minimum salary up from 80,000 to 120 by the end of the deal. I think that's fantastic. The median
Australian earns 80,000, Jimmy. So that's $40,000 more than the average Aussie earns. The players have got a right to jump up and down here and to get their point across, but they don't want to lose the PR battle here.
No,
and the PR battle has been quite well managed by them at the moment. But if they keep pushing and pushing, they will lose the battle. And once you lose it, it's very hard to win it back again.
The average salary is going to be $340,000. The median salary will be the interesting one. What's the 15th person in the squad getting played? 15th highest paid player in the squad. But anyway, that's a mathematical thing that we can look at later. Gold Coast. I thought the way they've handled this, Hain v. Henry v. Elgie v. Taylor or whoever else you want to throw into the mix, has been amateur hour. Do you know?
It's been a funny one, Jimmy. No one quite... Look, we all saw it coming. I think when Jared went there, and look, Jared's a precocious figure, we all know that, and he's an exceptional football player. But we all thought it just might work. It just might be the club where he's away from the distractions of Sydney and the influences. He can get away up there and play some footy. But look, it hasn't worked. Mm. It comes back to who signed him. Has it been worthwhile? Has it been worth the money? Mm. I think they thought that a lot of commercial success would come off the back of Jared Hain. That hasn't happened either.
Mm.
I don't think they've got the additional revenue they thought they would get from Jared Hain. Having said that, looks if Jared Hain's going to win the power struggle, Neil Henry, from what Buzz Rothfield says, and Buzz is always spot on, will be gone by Wednesday. A couple of young coaches are being mooted. Well, certainly one young coach, Anthony Seibold. He was the Queensland Origin assistant coach. He was assistant coach at Manly and is now assistant coach at South.
Yeah.
He's being mentioned, and another one is Adrian Lamb. Mm. His name is being thrown around as a possible replacement for Henry. I can't see why they would bother sacking Neil Henry with two games to go. You'd think they'd just wait for the season to end, do it in a controlled manner, and just get it done.
Mm. My understanding, Dino, is Jared Hain's on about $1.2 million. Neil Henry's on about $400,000. So you know who's going to go there. The payoff's a lot smaller for Neil Henry. Can he get another gig?
Neil Henry's success rate is 43%, right? It's not exceptional. He's had some fairly handy teams at the Cowboys and at Canberra.
Yeah.
Look, I think Neil Henry is a very good coach technically, but everywhere Neil goes, there does seem to be dramas between him and his lead players. I don't think he can. I think Neil will maybe end up in England or go back to an assistance role.
Okay.
I just don't know what club now would take another punt on Neil Henry. Given his success rate, certainly statistically, isn't above average at all.
Sure. Hey, let's just.
Any changes?
We've lost a caller for our quiz. So call now if you want to be a part of the quiz. We've lost your caller, Ray. So it would automatically default to me. But 1353 if you'd like to be, as it always does. Listen to you, Dino. Any changes to the Raiders and the Panthers? This is a crowd. I can't wait for this one today.
Yeah, 2 o'clock. GIO Stadium down there in Canberra. Jimmy, BJ Lalua was in some doubt for Raiders, but I think you'll find that he will play. That would put the Raiders 1 through 17 for the Panthers. They're okay too. Look, Peter Wallace is out with that broken hand, of course, but the good news is that Trent Merrin is back from that leg injury. So good news there for the Panthers. Merrin back this afternoon. And then there's the 4 o'clock game out there at ANZ Stadium. Bulldogs versus Manly. Josh Reynolds missing for the Bulldogs, but I was talking to James Graham during the week. They do think that Josh will be back for one final game in Bulldogs covers, which would be deserved for the kid called Grubb. They put Bulldogs 1 through 17. Manly also expect to be unchanged for this match.
James Graham say where he's playing next year?
No, he didn't. Jimmy, there's speculation during the week, of course, that he would go to St George Illawarra. Virtually every enemy player outside of, I think, Josh Jackson is on the market,
yes,
in inverted commas.
Yeah.
So, look, it's just a matter of Canberra trying to shed $1 million in the salary cap. I just don't know how they would do it. I do not know how they can possibly get rid of $1 million in player tax.
Well, if they have to shed $1 million after the salary cap was then put at 9.4, so they got 10.4, then they have, that is complete mismanagement. Complete mismanagement.
I'm getting too, Jimmy. They're going ordinary, the Dogs, so there's a lot of players there that other clubs won't be clamouring to get at.
Yes. Yeah. No,
I mean, $1 million, that could be 2-3 more players. And, I mean, the Dogs have to pay a lump of that contract as well when they do go elsewhere. So,
yep.
Look, it's just a mess.
Yeah, it is a mess. It is a mess. Dino, look after yourself, mate.
Go back to
look
bed,
after
Dino.
Our sniffles, back to bed. A bit of Panadol, you'll be right.
Just before I go, guys, very quickly, Benny Barber, September 1 next week, he'll make his debut for St Helens. Finally, that drug ban has ended, that 12-week ban. So he'll play for St Helens against Wigan. And Jaden Nikorima, Roosters player, watch for him to move on at the end. He might end up over there in Super League at Catalans in France.
Interesting. All right. Good on you, Dino. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, man. Cheers.
There he is, Dean Bulldog Richie, straight back to bed for the man they call Bulldog. 1353-53, the open line number. Now, you're up first, Raymond, for the quiz.
Yeah, and the call on the line there is Dean. Dean, good morning. Or is it?
You there, Dean?
Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, Dean, okay, yeah. Here we go. Best of luck, mate. You know the drill.
Yeah, I know the drill.
We want to try and jag all three here, Dino. Who
yeah,
scored?
I'll jag them, don't you worry.
Okay. Who scored the first try in Thursday night's Eels versus Titans NRL match? Was it Tepei Moroa, Semi Radradra, or Daniel Alvaro?
Ooh. Was it Moroa?
Oh, well done.
Turn your radio
solid.
Down, Dino.
Good solid start.
Turn the radio down.
Yeah. Tell the person who's there Googling for you to turn the radio down.
You can't say those
things. No, I know me stuff. Don't worry, boys.
That's it, then. I'm backing you in here, mate. Question number two. Who made the most tackles for the Titans in the same game? Was it Ryan James, Nathan Peets, or Kevin Proctor?
I'd say it'd be Peetsy.
Oh, well done. Yeah.
Would
the
you?
Workaholic
well
Nathan
done.
Peets.
Yeah, workaholic in the middle there.
Yeah. Dean knows his stuff. This is outstanding. Question number three. Here we go.
He knows
Dino.
This
will test
problem.
You. Where does producer Jeremy get these from? Oh. Here you go, Dean.
Same as us, Dean.
Which country will host round one of this year's Ski Orienteering World Cup?
Big event.
There's a big market on this. Finland, Latvia, or Norway?
Oh, yeah, Finland.
It's yeah, out.
Beautiful at that,
Clean. Dino, you're a star. Jimmy, good luck with it.
How have you done that, Dean?
That is brilliant.
Go on, play it. When you can't find the smuck in the room, when you can't find the patsy, you're the schmuck. Thank you.
That's as good as it gets, that.
Mitch.
Jimmy, we're up against it, mate.
Sounds like a rort, Mitch.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
Couple of footy questions for the other team, so hopefully we don't get them. I haven't watched a lot of footy this weekend, so...
Oh, you're in trouble, Mitch.
Oh,
in trouble.
Mitch. All right, here we go. Who ran for the most metres for the Eels in Thursday night's NRL match against the Titans? Was it Kirisomi Alva'a, Semi Radradra, or Nathan Brown?
We'll go with Sammy.
Well, I think we've got to knock it on the head. Mitch, I'm sorry, mate, but, yeah.
No dramas, boys. I'll see you at Wellington next year.
Oh, good on you, Mitch.
You won't see me at Wellington, Mitch, anyway.
Got to get Jimmy back there next year, Mitch. We'll be there. We'll be there next year.
I don't think we're... Dean?
Clean sweep. Yep.
Oh, listen, in the back. Oh, yeah, clean sweep, mate. Yeah, clean sweep.
What's your team, Dino?
My team's the Roosters.
Hey, I always liked you, Dean.
You've got a new friend.
I'd like to give a shout-out to Johnny Crazy Eyes, mate.
To Johnny Crazy Eyes.
Bit of a shout-out to him. Good bloke.
Great stuff, Dino. Mate, you've got three from three and given a shout-out, and you're getting a Roosters watch courtesy of Z&Z. It doesn't get much better than that on a Sunday morning.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you, mate. Stay on the line, Dino. That's good. That's a good winner there.
Yeah, well, you knew he stuck,
didn't
you?
Yeah. So now I need to update. Yeah. So is there still an asterisk next to 16?
Well, there is. This is in dispute.
16 and 16. Okay,
dispute,
it's all square. It's all square going into the semi-final. What a setup.
We've got a couple of calls of mine. I think John's here. John, good morning.
Oh, morning, Jimmy and Ray. How are you?
Terrific, John. What can we do for you, mate?
Yeah, just want to give a rap to the marketing people of the ATC, mate, the way they're promoting the racing at the moment. Just good value, you know what I mean? Like the good family value.
Good point, John, because the race clubs often get a bad rap for their marketing and stuff, but really good point. And I think Buzz Rothwell had a good article in Friday's Daily Telegraph, John, which just showed how affordable it was to go to the races. And as we saw yesterday, see a great horse like Winx as compared to going to some other the mainstream sports.
Exactly. And it goes back as, you know, I went to a couple of those Canterbury Friday night meetings with the markets and all that. And it was, that was good too. Just the whole family's happy, you know what I mean?
Do you take the family out, John?
Actually, I haven't got any kids, but I haven't got any kids, but I, you know, took a friend of mine, she enjoyed it, and you know what I mean? It's like sort of you could, go and, she had a browse around the markets, I did too, and then watch the race in between. And
were you there yesterday, John?
I didn't know, I just stayed local, and I'll remember news to come where I was that day, you know?
It was amazing, yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I won't forget it. So, but I was just going to say, the rugby league could take, a few hints off them, how to attract people to the games, because you're watching that, you know, the South and Warriors the other night with the crowd there, 6,000 or whatever it was, and then you switch over on Friday night and you watch the Swans in Adelaide. It's not an empty seat in the house, you know, it's 60,000 down there, you know. It's just,
stark contrast, isn't it, John?
It is, it's sad.
Stark
it's
contrast,
just,
yeah.
It is, if
yeah.
you want to sort of, sell the game, the player, you know, and they want pay rise, you know, we've got to get people something to attract, like the Big Bash. You go to that, as soon as you get off the bus or the train, you're entertained straight away, you know what I mean? Like, it's sort of that vibe is there, and rugby league, it's just sort of missing out on that at the moment. I don't know what the X factor we need, but there definitely needs to be something that has to happen.
It's a really good point. It's a good call. It's a great identification of it. I don't think it's new to identify it. The big question is, how do you fix it? Sorry, you've got callers there that we're not going to get to, so sorry, all those other callers. But that was a good call, John. So we might send him out some Sony Music CDs.
Well,
Andy's in the running. We're going to do a quiz, too, in the last couple of hours. We might do a quiz now. What's a question for these tickets, two members' tickets to the races as we go to a break?
How many wins in a row did Winx make it yesterday?